So the first one is pursue, then it's deny self. We talked about that. Take up your cross. We talked about what it was like to take up your cross and how God's going to have to chisel a little bit on us, and he's going to have to make us what he wants us to be, but we have to be willing to be chiseled on. And that's where it's hard, because we struggle to deny ourselves. But we have to allow God. How many watched that video last week, and how powerful you were moved by that video last week? Yeah, that was a powerful video, wasn't it? I've seen that video. I know I've seen that video 20 times. And yet every time I see it, it just brings tears to my eyes, because I can relate. Amen. And so talk about take up your cross. Now, this week, we're going to end this series on spiritual maturity. But understand, spiritual maturity, we're focusing on all year. We're just going to end this series of spiritual maturity. So next week, for those of you who are visiting today, that's great. Because next week, we start a brand new series in the book of Romans. And so you're coming in at a perfect time. Pick up a new series right in the beginning. Just keep coming back. And I promise you, you're going to learn a great deal. They say that you don't truly understand the Bible until you understand Romans. And so we're going to go through Romans. And I'll just forewarn you, it won't be next week, but it will be. There'll be a few weeks in there where you will feel like God came down himself and punched you right square in the nose. I'm just kind of saying. I won't tell you what week that will be so that you won't skip. But anyway. So today we're going to talk about follow. Now, the reason people don't follow God is because they have this video that I have will explain why most people don't follow God the way they should. Go ahead and pull up the video.
It's gigantic, if I'm going to be blunt.
Start it over, please.
And you know what? The funny thing is, I got several big butts. And before you just
start it over.
I got a big butt. It's gigantic, if I'm going to be blunt about it. And you know what? The funny thing is, I got several big butts. And before you discard me or wince at the disgusting notion of that, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that possibly you have at least one big butt as well. Yeah, you like that? Hurts a little, huh? Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something, okay? Everybody we know has a big butt. And more often than not, it's the thing that actually gets in the way of us living a consistent life for Jesus. Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to expound a little bit, okay? See if you can recognize some of these butts. But I have to work more. But my favorite TV show is on. But my kids have practice. But I gotta tweet something. But it's such a beautiful day. But I'm just not in the mood. But I deserve a break today. You see, everything kind of interferes with my life of just living an authentic life for God, okay? And more often than not, it always has something to do with some sort of butt, okay? Even the littlest butt can distract me. It really can. The littlest butt can make me think, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to think about it today. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Whatever God asks me to do, I seem to have a butt for it and get away, okay? And the most horrendously big butt of all time is the butt that gets in the way of me just hanging out with God and reading his word. It's true. Think about it. All the times you're about to open that, and all of a sudden a big giant butt gets in the way. A butt. Much like one of these. But I got a farm bill, but I'm tired, but the game's open, but I read last Tuesday, but I gotta check Facebook, but I don't like Leviticus, but it's too hot here, but I just don't like books, but I don't understand it, but it's boring. But what does that have to do with me in the 21st century? Those are some ugly butts, people. Let's just call them what they are, ugly. Ugly butts, okay? And there's a lot more to them, sad but true. Here's a list, although not exhaustive, of some of the most popular butts known to mankind. But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the small group is the same night as Monday Night Football. But can't I just let my life speak for itself? But I'm not happy. But that's not my gift. That's the pastor job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is having fun. Butts abound, friend. But. Here a butt, there a butt. Everywhere, a butt. Okay? And the most overused butt of all time, but I just don't have enough time. Really? Oh, come on. We have a lot of buts. God has given us a real simple word. Okay? If we learn it and we share it and we teach it and we live by it, then see, God gets glorified, people benefit, and then we get blessed. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the butt. Okay? And ultimately, that's the whole point I'm trying to make here, my fellow butt lovers, is if your butt is bigger than your why, then your butt's too big. Okay? It's time to, metaphorically speaking, snap into a Slim Jim. Okay? Let's slap on some spiritual shape-ups and hit the road a little bit so we can just manage the butts a little bit. That's all we're trying to do. That's what we're talking about. Let's minimize the excuses. Let's shrink the butts. Shrink the butts. Say it with me. Shrink the butts. That's what we need to do. And you and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it if we start today, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or... Yeah. I think you get it.
So I think some of you now understand some of the reasons why we don't follow God, amen? Why we, when we say we have to follow, we go, but I have other things to do, but I have prior commitments, but I. And so I want you to see that as we follow Jesus, first off, and I told you from the very beginning that being a Christian is very difficult. There was never an attack on you, spiritually speaking, when you did not know Jesus as your Savior. As a matter of fact, you could walk around and you were like everybody else, the multitude, and so it wasn't an issue. And then all of a sudden, you get saved, and now you got to follow Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you that when you follow Jesus, it gets complicated sometimes. It gets hard sometimes because now all of a sudden you're not flowing down river with the current, the being the multitude of the world. Now you're swimming against the current because you are going to stand for something different. You're going to look different. You're going to talk different. You're going to act different. You're going to walk different. You're going to do different. I mean, you're just, listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you're a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And it's that newness is that process of thought that we go through. And so to follow Jesus, guys, I'm just going to tell you, is a tough thing to do sometimes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen, I told you a few weeks ago, when I became a Christian, when I gave my life to Christ, I never knew the battle that I was going to go through. I never realized how many people were going to stand up against me. I never realized that even my own family was going to turn against me. How many have experienced that? Your own family. And you go, but I can't, listen, I can't walk away from Jesus because he's real and he's changed my life. I can't explain it, but I gotta follow him. And then all of a sudden, this cost comes in. Now, your family, they don't understand. And the reason they don't understand is because they don't know Jesus. And we would go back to John 8:47, where Jesus says, you don't hear the word of God or the things of God because you are not of God. And if you're not of God, you're not going to understand them. You're going to be spiritually discerned or spiritually ignorant, if you will. And so it makes it very, very difficult to, first off, the lost person is not going to understand somebody who has received Christ. And those who have received Christ are just going to get abused sometimes. And so we put on our gear, Ephesians chapter 6, where we put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we got to defend ourselves against the attacks of the devil. And sometimes the attacks of the devil, sometimes the devil looks like a loved one. And I don't mean that in a degrading way. What I mean it by is if they don't know God, and by the way, you know, Romans, we're going to learn, because people say, well, God doesn't exist. I don't believe in God. There is no God. But we know that's not true because God says that he put it into every person, his existence. Everybody knows there's a higher power. It's just whether they want to admit it or not. And so once you admit it and then you recognize it's Jesus Christ and you recognize who God is and what Jesus has done for you, and then you get saved, all things become new. Now it is a battle, if you will. You know, everybody says that, oh, Jesus is love, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you just the way you are. And that's true. He loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. That he wants you to follow him, and that means change. That requires change. And they said, well, God would never say anything ugly. God would never be mean. God, listen, yes, he will. I just want you to know, anybody read the Old Testament? Holy smoke, did God do anything ugly? Man, he wiped out nations. Why did he wipe out nations? Well, the reason he wiped out nations, just to keep it very quick and short and concise, is because they were Satan was using them to try to destroy the bloodline of Jesus, and we had to keep that bloodline pure so Christ would be born from a pure bloodline, and Satan was trying to taint that bloodline, which would have stopped the birth of Jesus Christ. And so God says, you know what? It's more important that Jesus comes and is born so that the world can be saved through him, and is more important than these few over here who are trying to be evil. So God says, I'm going to kill this small group so that the multitude can benefit from it. Well, as we go on, we see that God is the Father is pretty serious about keeping things holy. And then we see Jesus come on the scene, and we say, okay, we got to follow. And then when we go to follow, I got to fix this, because if I don't, I'm going to fall, and then you guys will laugh at me. And so if we're going to follow, look at what the scriptures say. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. First off, let's go to 21. Let's start in 21. In Matthew 10, 21, it says this. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, that's not works salvation. He just says that, listen, if you endure to the end, salvation is there in the sense that the pressure is gone, the evil, the ugly, the hating is gone. That's what he means. And so, but look what he says. He says, listen, family is going to rise up against family. So don't be shocked that one of your loved ones think you're crazy for loving Jesus. But if you're like me, and the Bible even says that once you have tasted the goodness of Jesus, there's no way to deny him. Which tells me, you know, when people say, well, I tried Christianity and it just wasn't for me. Well, you didn't try Jesus, you tried religion. And so that's why it's not good for you. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, religion will send you to hell. Anything short of Jesus Christ is short of salvation. And so for those who say, I tried religion, listen, you didn't try Jesus. And there's a huge difference, because only through Jesus comes salvation. So we see here immediately that man, we're going to be attacked, and we're going to be attacked by all. We're going to be attacked by our family. And then look here in 23, verse 23. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. He's making it very clear. He says, listen, I was persecuted, and if you follow me, you're going to be persecuted because you're not above me. And of course, we know Jesus was persecuted, and he was persecuted unto death. The cross, one of the most heinous ways that you could die. And then he goes on here in 25. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which is Satan, by the way, or the devil, how much more will they call those of his household? So listen, if Jesus was attacked, and by the way, they called Jesus Beelzebub, didn't they? Yeah, they were like, man, you're of Satan. And he said, look, if I was of Satan, Satan doesn't kill his own. He doesn't take out his own. He's not going to destroy his own house. So if I was of Satan, why would I go against him? You don't understand. But what he's making clear here is that, listen, if they attacked him, they're going to attack you. Do not be shocked. Do not be shy. Do not be afraid to take a stand. Because, man, it's going to be rough sometimes. And you're going to feel like you've been thrown under the bus and ran over, and then backed up on, and then run over again, and then backed up and run over again. Jesus is going to make that pretty clear here in just a second. But listen, if they did it to him, they're going to do it to you. verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. He says, listen, don't fear the evil. They will be revealed in their day. You just stay steadfast. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. Don't be afraid to take that stand. So he sets his case up really in 16 through 26. But in 27, there's a call for courage. And so if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, guys, I'm going to tell you, you need courage. And some of you have already experienced that. Some of you already know that. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you need courage. And I mean courage to stand strong. And how else are you going to stand strong except for you understand the scriptures and understand who God is? You know, that's why most people don't come to Christ. That's why most people deny Christ. Why most people won't follow Christ. Why most people attack Christ is because they don't know him. They've never taken the time to truly read and understand who Jesus Christ is. What they've done is they have become what I call the proverbial parrot. They just keep spewing out what they've heard go in. And they don't even know if it's true or false, but they'll repeat it because it goes along with their ideology or their worldview. And so most people that hate Jesus never stopped to take a moment to understand who he is. I'm not talking religion, guys. I'm talking Jesus Christ as a person, not Christianity as a religion. And so if you were to stop and do that, you would find that Jesus is real. As a matter of fact, how many have ever heard of Lee Strobel? He wrote the book, A Case for Christ. If you have questions or you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to get that book, A Case for Christ, because here's what happened. His wife became a follower, a true follower, where she stepped out and she was following God, and he did not like it. He was a self-proclaimed atheist. And which, by the way, I don't believe that atheists exist. I'm just going to say that out loud. And the reason I don't believe it is because in Romans chapter 1, God said that he put the knowledge of him into every human being. And so if he put the knowledge of him into everybody, then everybody knows that he exists. They just don't want to acknowledge it. Okay? So I don't believe that atheism exists because God says it doesn't. I believe that some people are hard-hearted. And I don't mean that in a slamming way. It just means that you've hardened your heart for whatever reason toward God. Maybe because you just had a real bad experience. I don't know. I have no clue. But for some reason, you harden your heart toward God, and you go, okay, because of that, he doesn't exist. But he does. Because here's the thing that we fail to understand. Truth does not depend upon what we believe. Truth is truth regardless of where you stand or what you believe. So Lee Strobel goes and he says his wife comes home and now she's not doing the things she used to do, and she's not talking like she used to talk, and she's not interested in the things that she used to be interested. She has changed. And Lee Strobel got angry at her and he goes, "You're not the woman I married." Well, praise Jesus, she's not the woman he married, amen? Because when you meet Jesus, you're a new creature in Christ. All the old things are gone, you're looking forward to new things. And so he set out to disprove Jesus Christ. He set out to prove that it was a cult, that it was a false religion, and that she was tied up in this messed up cult that she called a church, and that she needed to get out of it, and she needed to get away from Jesus. And he knew that if he did his homework, because he was a journalist, so he could understand that, if he did his homework, he could get her out of that cult. So he set out on his journey to prove Jesus Christ false. Well, the rest is history. Through all of his study, I'm telling you, he traveled to Israel. He spent thousands of dollars to prove Jesus Christ did not exist and that Christianity was a cult. And by the time he got done spending all that money to prove that Jesus was a lie, he ended up receiving Jesus as his Savior.
Amen.
Because all the information pointed right to him. All the information proved that Jesus was who he declared that he was. And Lee Strobel couldn't deny it. He couldn't hide from it. And guess what Lee Strobel became? A follower. He was right there by his wife going, "Honey, let's go." It was a good thing. And so here we find that when the attacks come, that Jesus says here in 10:26, through 33, there's a call for courage. Guys, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you got to have courage. Listen, most people think that Christianity is a wimpy thing. I'm going to tell you, you don't realize how strong you are until you become a Christian. And then you don't realize how in need of Jesus you are until you become a Christian and all the attacks start happening. Verse 26, therefore, do not fear them. There is nothing. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. He says, have courage. Don't fear them. Look here in 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Don't fear them. Look here in 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Don't fear somebody who can take your life. That doesn't matter. But look what he says here. But rather, verse 28, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He says, you better fear God. God made you. He created you. He formed you. And listen, he wants nothing but good for you, and he loves you, and he created you to be with him. But if you choose not to be with him, he can destroy you, both body and soul. He has the ability. Why? Because we're his creation. You take the creator of anything, they can destroy what they made. And so Jesus says, you don't fear man. Don't fear the one that can kill your flesh. You fear God because he can take your soul, which lives forever and ever and ever, and it never dies. So when we look at what Jesus is telling us here, he says, listen, I am he, I'm God. And I want you to live forever. But he tells the Christian, don't fear. Don't have any fear whatsoever. Look here as I finish reading in 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Verse 30, I made God's job really easy. I just want you to know, amen, Milton, there. Listen, connecting point is the Church of Bald Men. Yeah, man, we're a sweet group, amen? I see hands go up everywhere like, yeah. God made a few perfect heads, and the rest he put hair on it, and the perfect ones he sent to Connecting Point. So, look here. I actually had a gentleman who came to the church, and at the time we're still in abundance of bald men, but there seemed to be, everywhere you look, seemed to be a bald person. And so he went up to Kevin and he goes, do you got to be bald to join this church? And Kevin says, yeah, we got the razor in back. So as soon as you're ready, you just let us know. And he never came back. What was up with that, man? Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And the reason he put it in there, when he says, do not fear, he said, because the very hair on your head, every one of them is numbered. Jesus knows the very number of hairs that you have in your head, or the lack thereof. But he knows it. He's saying, listen, I have all that under control. If I'm asking you not to fear, then I want you to believe what you think is impossible. How many here can count the hairs on their head? Okay, besides me, Milton, Larry, a few others. The reality is, never mind, I'm not even going to go there. And so, he's saying, don't fear. I know how many hairs are on your head. I am that kind of God. Have courage. Have courage. So then he goes in 31. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And so as he goes on here, he says, listen, I'm telling you, have courage, take the stand, follow me, because I am God. I am your Savior. Not just Savior from hell to heaven, but Savior on this world, here, today. Then we're to have moral courage. Look here in 26. He says, don't fear. In 27, he says, whatever I tell you in the dark, you speak in the light. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you have to have moral courage. Now I'm going to tell you, as we listen to the news and listen to people, what do they want you to do? Be quiet. Be quiet. Why? Because nobody wants to be reminded of the ugly they're doing. Nobody wants to be reminded of the truth if it's going contrary to what they want to do, right? If you're with somebody and you're getting ready to do bad, and of course I know nobody in here would do that, and so you're getting ready to do something that's wrong, and you have somebody with you, and they go, oh, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You're not going to take that person the next time with you, are you? My wife, who's not in here, so I'll talk about her. Is she in here? She left. She just left, didn't she? Oh, perfect timing. And so my wife, she was one of those kids that she had to do everything right. Yeah, and listen, if you did it wrong, she was going to help you correct the wrong and make it right. And you know of anybody like that? Yeah, so her brothers and sisters hated her. Not really, but they didn't take her anywhere because every time they'd go out, as soon as they got home, she'd go, Dad, you know what they did? I told them not to do it, but they wouldn't listen, and they went ahead and did it. And so her brothers and sisters were literally ready to string her up with a very thick rope that was assured not to break. And so... And you should have some of those people, right? Well, when we follow Jesus, that's what we should be. Amen. See, she just walked into the room. Perfect timing. And so that is the way we should be when we stand. But people don't like for us to stand on that truth. They don't like for us to follow Jesus that closely. If it's good for you, that's good. But just keep it quiet. And you know, the sad part is most Christians, they go home and they'll go, oh, I'm not going to talk about that because I don't want to offend anybody. But the Word of God is offensive anyway. Jesus says the word's offensive. You're going to offend them. And then he tells us, you know, just speak the truth. Now, speaking in love, I'm still working on that side of it. But he says, listen, he goes, you have to tell them the truth. Whatever you have been told, you need to speak it out. Whatever you know of the Word of God, you need to speak it clearly. And I'm going to tell you, taking those stands are not going to make you popular. Following Jesus, unless you're in church, will not make you popular. But let me say this. It makes you priceless in the eyes of God, which is the only one that matters. And he says, you know what? I want you to have moral courage, and I want you to be daring in your speak. What you hear from me, I want you to speak it out, because how shall somebody know the truth and hear the truth unless somebody goes and tells them? And so when people say, oh, I, you know what? I follow Jesus. I just do it quietly in my own house, and I don't bother anybody. All right, I'm going to say this, and remember I said I'm working on sharing with love, and so if I come up short in this area, just extend me grace, right? Because Jesus says you got to love me even if you don't like me. And so when people say that, I just live my life, and I'm just good, and I don't need to speak it. I just live it out. That's being a coward. Al, did I say that out loud? It really is, guys. Listen, I just got baptized and I'm right with Jesus, and yeah, that was it. Listen, you're not doing anybody a favor by being silent. Do you realize that showing the love of Christ, you know, because we get blamed for that, right? If we say one thing that doesn't line up with somebody's ideologies and it stings them just a little bit, and they go, well, you're supposed to show the love of Jesus, and that's not too loving. Anybody ever been there, right? And I actually got into a debate. This is why I'm not on Facebook anymore, because Facebook kicked me off. And so I'm kidding. They didn't. I just put it up for a while. But I responded, and they're like, and I got accused from the guy I don't even know him. He doesn't know me, but we had a mutual friend. And my mutual friend is actually Charles Stanley's secretary is who it was. And so he gets on there and starts blasting me because I just shared truth. And he said, it's the John Westfalls of the world that stopped me from going to church. Thank you, John Westfall. That's what he puts on there, right? And I went, God, hold me back. hold me back, all right? Anybody ever been there? You're just like, put the brakes. Well, I felt God push me forward. He didn't hold me back. And maybe I just broke the grip. I don't know. But I responded, and I said, because he said I offended him. And so I put on, have you ever been offended at work? Do you stop going to work? Oh, there's a good one, isn't it? And then I said, and most people aren't going to stop going to work because they got to pay for all the stuff they want because they don't know how to deny self, but that's another issue. And so I said, listen, you're not going to go to church because you decide not to go to church, and you're not going to follow Christ because you decide not to follow Christ, and you're going to go to hell because you decided to go to hell. Do not look for somebody to be a patsy because I am not it. And then I proceeded to tell him how his decisions were his. And so, like, I had to back up a little bit on there, you know. I wasn't ugly and I wasn't ungodly. But the truth is, and then I put on there and I said, listen, you want to know the love of God? You want to know the truth of Christ, the love of Jesus Christ? It's telling the truth. He loved you so much that he told you that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he conquered death and hell, that he rose on the third day and he's at the right hand of the Father. He loved you so much, he told you all of that, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not die and go to hell, but you will go to heaven when you die. Listen, that is the love of Jesus. And if we're going to follow Christ, we've got to learn to voice that. And that's what he's saying. Have moral courage and dare to speak. And then the last point, because I got to wrap it up. Maybe. Somebody pray for electronics to die. All right, because if it don't die, I got... No, all right. So then the next thing is you have to have physical courage. Guys, you got to have physical courage. How many have ever read the book Martyrs for Jesus, put out by DC Talk? Oh my goodness! There's story after story after story after story, and one of them is these two Korean girls that were led to Jesus by their pastor. Their pastor had told them the truth, shared the love of Jesus. They got saved, and then the Gestapo, if you will, they're in Korea, and so the government came in and lined them up, and was going to shoot them, and then told the pastor, if you deny Christ, we'll let you live. And so the pastor stood there and denied Jesus Christ. Then they handed him the gun and said, if you don't believe in Jesus, you have no problem killing your followers. And so he took the gun, the revolver, and he went up to the two Korean sisters. And before he could pull the trigger, they told him, Pastor, we love you. And we forgive you. And he pulled the trigger and killed both of them. And after he pulled the trigger and he shot both of them, the officials that were there, the soldiers that were there, went up to him and said, because you are a traitor, now you must die. See, I struggled with that when I read it. You cannot be afraid to die. You have to have physical courage. If you take a stand, you're going to die. And if you deny Christ, you're going to die for being a traitor. See, Satan doesn't care. He just wants you out of the way. The world doesn't care. The attacks are going to come. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, he says that we must take the stand. Do not, in verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then we have spiritual courage that we are to draw on God, and that is 29 through 30, where he talks about, listen, I love you. I know the hairs on your head. I will take care of you. Do you realize, and I'm closing with this, guys, but I want you to think about this for a minute. You go back and you read Genesis, the point of creation, and you read everything in Genesis that God created, he created, he spoke it into existence. He said, let there be, and there it was, and the water divided, and it divided, and he separated the water from the land, and it separated. And he said, let there be trees and plants, and there was trees and plants. And he said, let there be fish in the water, and there was fish in the water. And he said, let there be cattle on the land, and there was cattle on the land. He spoke it, and it happened. Hey, let the sun, moon, and the stars be put into place, and the sun and the moon and the stars were put into place. And then in Genesis 1:26, he gets to us. He gets to man. And he looks at Jesus, and he looks at the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, I don't read that in there. But it's in there, because in 1:26, he says, let us make man in our image. And do you realize that God loved you so much? He loved each and every one of us so much that he actually took the time to form and create man out of the dirt, the dust of the ground. And then not only was he didn't just finish there, after he created us, after he formed us, after he took the time to make us in his image, he breathed life into his nostrils, the very breath of God. Nothing else got the very breath of God, but we did. And man, when we understand who we are in Christ, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, we didn't crawl out from under a rock because a big bang happened and the water just happened to be warm enough to give birth. That didn't happen. Jesus made us, for everything was made by him and for him. Colossians 1:16. Do you realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you realize that he says, listen, I loved you so much in Jeremiah that I have a future and a hope for you. You know, we walk around with our heads hanging and we're all depressed. Why? We got victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Man, not only do we have victory in Jesus, we have life in Jesus. And nobody and nothing can take that life from us. And for those who don't have Jesus, you feel hopeless, you feel lost. If I die, where am I going to go? What's going to happen? I'm going to tell you, the Word of God tells you what's going to happen. If we're going to follow God, we got to tell people what's going to happen. If we say we love that person, how can we dare hold life from them?
Amen.
All in the name of, I don't want to offend. Listen, I'd rather offend you with truth and see you go to heaven than for you to get to the great white throne judgment, and God says that you are judged and condemned to hell because you didn't believe on his son, and I'm standing there and you turn and look at me and go, why didn't you tell me? I don't want that. And so, guys, if you're going to follow Jesus, it's not going to be the prettiest thing, but sometimes it's going to be amazing, and sometimes it's going to be fun, and sometimes it's going to hurt, and sometimes you're going to feel like you're going to die, and sometimes you might die. If you're going to follow Jesus, there's a cost to it. I'm not going to stand up here and make it sound like once you become a Christian, it's all cherries and cream, because it's not. The hardest thing I've ever done, and let me tell you something, I haven't always been a Christian. As a matter of fact, I grew up in a home that was very abusive. I grew up in a home that was split. I grew up in a home that when I was 16, I left. By the time I was 16, I left there, and I'm living on the streets. And so I'm telling you something, I understand what it is to live the lifestyle that, I understand that lifestyle. But man, I'm going to tell you, giving my life to Christ, I am not the same man. And I praise God for that. And I had no fear, and you can ask my wife, I had no fear of man. I have no fear of dying. I had no fear of anything. And this was before I knew Jesus. Now I really don't. As a matter of fact, I'm like, Jesus, come on today. I'm ready to go. Let's get this thing done. But I had no fear of death. And I had no appreciation of life. And now that I understand, I wouldn't trade what I have today for anything. How could I be silent? We must live and stand for Jesus Christ. Is it going to cost? Yep. Is it going to feel good all the time? Nope. And anybody that tells you that it will, they're a liar. And anybody that tells you that if you give all your money to the church that you're going to get rich, they're a liar. And anybody that tells you you won't have problems, that you're going to be blessed because the blessings are there waiting on you, you just got to cry out for them, they're a liar. You're going to have struggles, you're going to have problems, you're going to have issues. It's not always going to be fun, but then there's going to be times where it's just going to be over the top. That's the life of a Christian. And so if you're going to follow Christ, understand there's a price to pay. But man, the payoff, whoo, far greater than the price you'll ever pay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I think about these scriptures, Lord, and I think of your promise. Oh my goodness, Lord, thank you so much for that. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I've told them the truth. If they make the decision to give their life to Christ, it's not going to be a bowl of cherries. It's not always going to be fun and glamorous and good and no problems in life, Lord. As a matter of fact, they'll have an enemy, a new enemy called Satan, the devil, who doesn't want them to have victory in you, Lord. That he wants them down and out. And so, Lord, I understand that when we give our life to you, that there's an attack that comes upon us. But Lord, I hate for anybody to make a decision uninformed. And so Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would just convict their heart right now. Right now, Lord, just make it feel like they've been shot in the heart with an arrow. And Lord, that they have got to get it taken care of. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, I want to give you the opportunity to take care of that. I'm not going to promise you everything is going to be good, because the reality is it won't. And I'm not going to promise you that all the bad in your life is going to disappear, because it won't. But I can promise you this, that when you receive Christ as your Savior, you get a peace that passes all understanding. You get a Father in heaven that loves you like you've never been loved before in your life. And you get life everlasting. That when this old body dies, your soul, your spirit will go on forever with God. If you choose to deny Christ, well, then it's just the opposite. And so if you're here today and you say, you know, today I want to give my life to Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe that he conquered death and hell. And I believe that he's at the right hand of the Father. And today I surrender my life. I repent of all my sins. Today I ask forgiveness. Today I believe I'm forgiven. And today I'm a new creature in Christ. If